You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
Psalm 119, and we're not covering this entire psalm tonight because we would be here 4 hours. At least. So it's 176 verses, unless you just want to. Do you want to? No, you don't want to. You're in God's house, be honest. All right, Psalm 119, and this is an amazing chapter of Scripture. We'll read the whole psalm tonight. No, we're not going to do that. But it's going to be a blessing to you, and I kind of have a challenge for you as we go through this. And I'll get to it in just a second. We're going to look at two things. We're going to look at chapter information and then chapter instruction tonight. Let's pray, and we'll jump right in. Father, thank you for the service tonight. Thank you for the song that you didn't come down off that cross, but you stayed there and died on that cross for our sin, taking our punishment, our shame, our sin upon you so that we could go free and go to heaven. Thank you for doing that, and thank you for the privilege of knowing that we're saved after we put our faith and trust in you. What a great privilege that is. And again, Lord, I pray if there's somebody here tonight who's never done that, that they would they'd want that. They'd want to know Christ as their Savior and go to heaven. Help us this evening as we look at the Bible. Instruct us tonight from your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I forgot to ask, who needs a pen? Anyone need a pen? Okay. Who needs a vaccine? We're giving those out right now, too. Anybody? No, I'm just joking. All right. Just kidding. Chapter information. Psalm 119. You probably know a lot of this, but stay with me tonight. It is the longest psalm in the Bible, and it is also the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses. Now, there are some Bible, I think the book of Numbers has one that's 80-something or right at 90 verses long, but this is by far the longest chapter in the Bible. Now, no author is mentioned here, but David is believed to be the author. You say, well, by who? By me, okay, and by other people as well, that David is most likely the author. And we say that because it kind of reads like David, and it just has a Davidic feel to it. I know that's not very conclusive, but it kind of sounds like him. And what's interesting about this chapter is that some verses make it sound like it was written in his younger years before he ascended to the throne. And then some verses make it sound like, excuse me, it was written later in life. And when you have 176 verses, and when you see the construction of the psalm, I don't think David just sat down and wrote this in one day. Perhaps this was an ongoing project for David. Perhaps this was going for a long time, years, decades, we don't know. But it's just interesting how it's laid out. And look at this, if you would, on your notes here. Psalm 119 is an acrostic in alphabetical form. Let me explain that. There are 22, we've seen this before in other psalms. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, okay? Teenagers, how many letters are there in our alphabet? 25, Michaela? What did you say? No, I'm kidding. She said it right. She got it. 26, right? In Hebrew, there's 22, all right? And as we're looking at these stanzas, I don't know how your Bible is, but in my Bible, you won't be able to see this probably, but in my Bible, there are 8 verses and then a break, and then 8 verses, and then a break, and then 8 verses, and then a break. Is that how your Bible is set up? Okay, what that is, and you may have some really funny words like Aleph, and Beth, and Gimel, and Daleth, all over those. Those are the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, okay? And so what's happening here is the first 8 verses all start with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So, you know, when we read it in English, blessed are the undefiled, blessed are they that keep his, they also, you know, thou, they're all starting with different letters. But in Hebrew, it would be as if every letter started with A in our language. It would be like, you know, all together we love God, you know, advance toward the goal. It would all start with A. And so it's very beautiful how it happens. And so then in the next 8 verses, would start with the next letter of the alphabet. The next 8 verses would be the next letter of the alphabet. Those lines, the first line, starts with that letter. So it's an acrostic alphabetically throughout this psalm. And so that's a lot there. So 8 verses, times 22 letters gives us 176 verses. That's what gives us the 176 verses. So realize as you're seeing this here, this is not just random verses that were thrown in here. This was put together by a beautiful mind, by a poetic mind, and on your sheet here, the form of this writing is attractive. I mean, I like outlines that are practical, not outlines you can't use. I like outlines that are practical. I like outlines, you know, I like when things begin with the same letter. We call it alliteration. You'll notice a lot of times my messages, I'll start with the same letter. Why is that? Because oftentimes that can help with memory if you try to remember them. And it's elegant. This writing is poetic. It's just a beautiful, beautiful psalm. Now, the theme of Psalm 119, is the Word of God. Did you write that in? The theme of this psalm is the Word of God. The Word of God is mentioned in almost every single verse. Now, there are some, verse 90, verse 102, verse 132, and there are a couple others where people say, I don't think it's mentioned there, so there's some discrepancies here and there, but some of these verses are the ones that where, like Psalm 119, verse 90, thy faithfulness is unto all generations, thou hast established the earth and it abideth. Word of God's not mentioned there. But you may be looking at some of these verses and think, well, where is the Word of God mentioned in these verses? Look at this next part. The Word of God is mentioned in almost every verse using one of these. So on the blanks there, it should be after judgments, there's a blank, and then you hit the enter, and ordinances should be the next word. And then, you know, so every, you'll see it in a second here. But commandments, when you see commandments in this passage of Scripture, that's referring to the Word of God. That's referring to the law, okay? When you see the word judgments, you'll see that that's referring to the Word of God. The blank there, law. When you see law, that's referring to the Word of God, the Mosaic law. That's the Torah, okay? Now, again, ordinances should be on its own line because ordinances is found, I think, one time in this chapter, but that is a reference to the law, to, again, the Word of God. And then the next word there is precepts. That word is only found in the book of Psalms. But precepts, that is, again, another word referring to the law or to the Word of God. The word statutes should be on its own line, but that's okay. I just wanted you to know they're not connected words. They're each separate words. Statutes. And then testimonies. If you have different colored pencils, you could go through this psalm and mark each one a different color and notice how they're all used. And then the word word. The word word is also used as the Word of God there. And then if you were to hit, again, the enter button there, ways. And it can be tricky because some instances the word way may not be used for the Word of God. In the Hebrew, it's a different word. We have the same word way, but in Hebrew, there's a couple different words that are translated that in here. But sometimes it is a reference to the Word of God. And so as you're reading through there, if you've never come across this passage or you've never really read it through, understand that the Word of God is talked about almost every verse. Almost every single verse, and it's a beautiful thing. Also, would you write this in? God is referenced. God is referenced in every verse. And you'll see it David will say, blessed are the defiled that walk in the way of the Lord. But also when he says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous truth out of thy law. So it's thy or thou, but it's their deity. God is referenced in every verse. Now, what does that tell me? I applied it to this way. That shows me how vital and how central God and his word should be in our lives. Everything, every verse talks about God. The vast theme of it is the Word of God. And man, I tell you, the Word of God is so vital to our Christian lives, and it should be so central to our Christian lives. And as we're going through this psalm, we're going to talk about the Bible a lot. Or I'm going to try to be practical. I'm going to try to give it to you in different ways, so it's not always the same looking. It's not always the same message each week that we go through it. But you need to see that the Bible is important in the Bible. The Bible is important to God, and He wants it to be important to you. This book, of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So it's important to God that you get in the Bible, that I get in the Bible. So we've seen some information about the chapter. Let's read the first 8 verses, and we'll jump into some instruction. Okay, as we're reading this, now I'm going to be honest with you. There is no way that I could be thorough enough to cover everything in this chapter. It would take a very lengthy series to do that. I mean, it'd be very, very lengthy. So I'm going to take you through 8 verses, and I'm going to sum it up. I'm going to take you through 8 more and sum it up. Now, will there be some wonderful truths and nuggets in there that I can't get to? Yeah, but I want to encourage you to get into this chapter, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. Let's look at the first 8 verses. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto Thy commandments. So we've seen precepts, statutes, commandments, ways, testimonies, law already. Verse 7, I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. So, let's jump into some practical instruction here. Number 1, the first 8 verses, if I were to sum them up for you, I would sum up this way. Obey the Word of God. Obey the Word of God. The key words in these 8 verses, the words walk are repeated, keep is repeated, and ways are repeated. And I've circled them in my Bible there. Keep is 4 times. Walk, I circled them, but now I can't tell which one is which. Twice, and ways twice. And they're repeated there. Of course, the word blessed is repeated twice as well. Look at verses 1 and 2. It says here, and really, some people believe that verse 1 is like the theme, and the rest of the whole psalm backs up this idea. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, we say, hey, how you doing today? I'm blessed, right? Mrs. Jones, where are you? There you are, okay. And that's great. And I hope you would describe yourself as blessed. And what we mean by that is God has given me blessings, and I own that and recognize it. The Bible word for blessed means happy. Happy. Would you fill that in there? Is it a blank? It is. So this is saying, not only blessed are the undefiled, but it's saying, man, happy. Happy are the undefiled that walk in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Happy are they that keep His testimonies. The rebel is not happy. The rebellious person notoriously has a bad attitude. It's not the rebellious people that are happy. Why? Because you can't be happy rebelling against God. Look, the kids in the home, the kid that rebels is not happy. Something's going on. Because why? Because when you are, there's a disconnect between you and your authority, there's not happiness. And the Bible is saying, you want to be happy? Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. I'm not happy, Pastor. I'm just never happy. How's your relationship with your Father, with God? Is it right? Are you keeping His commandments, or is there rebellion? Okay, so how to be happy. Now, let's look at some of this here when it says in verse 1, who walk in the law of the Lord. And then verse 3, they also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. So what does it mean to walk in the law of the Lord? And is this the only time it's mentioned? It's not. I want you to take your Bible. Go to Deuteronomy, please. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 5. Here is when the law was given. Okay? The law had been given. Deuteronomy, we'll see here, chapter number 5. And so what Deuteronomy is it's a rehashing, it's a repeating, Moses kind of going back over what had happened earlier with the law being given and all that. So when you read Deuteronomy, you're like, man, I thought I read that in Exodus, and I thought I read that in Numbers, and I thought I read that in Genesis. Yeah, you did. It's retelling that story, and Moses kind of goes back through it. Of course, you get some new stuff in there. But as he goes back through it, he's talking about the law and when God gave it. Look at chapter 5, verse 33. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Go to chapter 8. Let's keep noticing this here, this phrase, chapter 8, verse number 6. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. Okay, two more. Chapter 10, and by the way, there were so many of these, but chapter 10, it says in verse 12, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God and to walk in his ways and to love him and serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep his keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you this day for thy good. Well, what else does God want? He just wants you to walk in his ways. And what's that mean? Keep his commandments. Look at chapter number 11, verse 22. Chapter 11, verse 22, maybe on the same page, right across the page there. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out these nations from before you. Ye shall possess the greater nations mightier than yourselves. So again, all of that, what's it talking about here? It's basically saying it means that to walk in the law of the Lord means that you are obeying the revealed word of God. You are obeying the revealed will of God for you, but the revealed word of God. Whatever he has revealed that you don't do that, then you don't do that. And if God has revealed that you are supposed to do something, you do that. You know, the pastor, that's really simple. Then why don't we do it? Why don't we do it? You want to be blessed and you want to be happy? Do what you know God said to do in his word. Blessed are they. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Those people that are walking in God's word, God says, they're going to be happy. They're going to be blessed. Blessed are those that keep his commandments. You're obeying God. Doesn't mean you won't have sorrow in life. Doesn't mean that trials won't come, but you'll be blessed all through it. That's what it's saying here. To understand that is important. So what does it mean to walk the law of the Lord? It means you're obeying the revealed word of God and what he has told you to do. But what's the word keep mean? Keep his testimonies. The word keep there means to observe. It's a little bit different. It means to observe. To keep it means to observe his commandments. To conform. We observe certain days in our society, right? We will observe Martin Luther King Jr. Day on Monday. We'll observe that holiday, okay? What's that mean? But in the Bible, to keep means also to conform one's action or practice to. It's to obey a command with diligence and in detail. To obey a command, you're conforming your will, to obey a command with diligence and in detail. Those of you who have been parents of more than one child, did you ever have a child that you could say something to and they would get it done to the last detail? And then the other kid, you tell them what to do and they do none of it. And you're like, I thought I just mentioned that. You know, sometimes some people are detail people. Maybe you're here and you are Mr. or Mrs. Organized and you are detailed. I'm a free spirit. I'm a free spirit, brothers and sisters. No, I like the details too, but some people are like, they got to have the details for everything. I heard my father-in-law say in a message, I was listening to one of his messages, he said, you don't want to go on a trip with me. You don't want to go on a trip with me, he said, because I've got to know all the details and I will ask so many questions. That's not me. I'm like, where are we going? Dallas. Why? You need to know. Let's go. You know, that's me. But some people are very detailed. But when it comes to the Word of God, we want to be detailed about it. We ought to say, no, I want to follow God's command. Basic idea there of the root word, the basic idea is to exercise great care over. That's what we're talking about, to make sure that we're taking care to follow the word of God. So diligently follow the Lord. It means that we're seeking to obey exactly what God wants from us, not just to do our own thing. You know, some people are so content to come to church one time and be like, well, I came to church, so I'm good for a week. But God expects so much more than that. Look, if you would, and I think that's a challenge to us, to take great care that we obey the word of God, to do what God has revealed in his word for us to do. Look at verse 2, though. It says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. And I think that's a good question to ask ourselves tonight. Are we seeking God with our whole heart? You know, so many people do things half-heartedly. They go to job, they go to their work, their job, and it's half-hearted. They come home with family, and the effort they put in is half-hearted. That, you know, it comes time to train the children, to raise the children, and it's half-hearted. Then it comes to Bible time, and it's like, well, tomorrow. Prayer time, I'm a little sleepy. And we're half-hearted about a lot of things, but God wants us to seek him with our whole heart. Because why? Because he knows that that person will be blessed. And God wants to bless you. Blessed are they that keep his commandments and testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. So the first instruction there from this passage, and again, you could read it throughout there. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Verse 4, keep thy precepts diligently. Verse 3, walk in his ways. Verse 8, keep thy statutes. Do the word of God. Obey it. Secondly, let's look at these next 8 verses here, and I'll try to move quicker through those last two here. Verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. If I were to sum that up, so we have the first 8 verses where we said obey the word of God, I would sum these next up as saying saturate your life with the word of God. Saturate your life with the word of God. Of course, there's some famous verses there that we hear quite often in that we quote. But saturate your life with the word of God. Notice in this scripture, if you would, where the word of God is mentioned in these areas. The word of God, first of all, is in his heart. Did you see that? Verse number 10 and 11. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, and that's a good place for the word of God to be. Our hearts should be open to the instruction of God's word. You know, oftentimes, we can all come to church and just assume that since we're here, we did enough. But I would encourage you to, on purpose, every time you come to church, and on purpose, every time you open the Bible, open your heart up to God. Open your heart up to God. God wants that. When you hear it taught, when it's read, we should be looking for some teaching and instruction from the Holy Spirit. Look at verse number, we'll get to that in a little bit here. But it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us the Word of God. And I want the Holy Spirit to talk to my heart when I'm reading. I want Him to. And so saturate your heart with the Word, but then look where else the Bible is. Verse 13, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. With my lips. So it's in his heart, but the word is also in his mouth. He's saying, I'm talking about it. I don't know what your favorite topic is to talk about. There's a lot to talk about nowadays. Used to be when I'd go soul winning, when I was a younger youth pastor, I would go soul winning. And I remember I loved to talk about sports. And so whatever teenager was with me soul winning or whatever during teen soul winning, I'd be talking about sports. And we'd get back in the car or the bus and we'd be talking about sports and all of that. And a lot of that has faded from my heart now. I couldn't really care less much about sports. But my mindset has really changed on that. And through the years, God has just kind of prodded me and grown me to where I would just much rather talk about God than anything else. I'd much rather talk about the Bible than really any other topic. Look, you want to come talk to me about politics? I could not care less. I know who I'm going to vote for and all that, but I don't really care to talk about politics. Let me just guess what the news was today. It's bad, we're all dying. Is that about right? Is that what the news said today? It's bad, we're all dying. Everyone should be very terrified and take as many shots as you can. That's about what it says, right? I don't think I missed anything, okay? And so it's all out there. But I want to talk about things that are important. And we talk about what's on our heart. Our mouth, you know, what comes out of our mouth is what we're seeing, what we're hearing, what we're thinking about. And the Bible teaches that. The verse escapes my thinking right now, but we can't help but speak the things we have seen and heard. And that's what we see. And so think back through this last week. Who did you talk with about God? Who did you talk with about God? How many times did you talk about God this week? How many times did you talk about the Bible this week? Because, I mean, these are important topics. How about this? Did you share something that you got out of the Bible with somebody else? Did you share that? Say, hey, you know, since we're talking about spiritual things, here's what God gave me the other day. And just share it. I think that'd be great to do. I mean, if not, like, what other things are we talking about? What's more important than that? The word was in his mouth. The word was in his heart, but also the word was in his mind. Verses 15 and 16. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget. It's in his mind. I will not forget thy word. So let me just give you those two verses kind of build upon one another. And I wanted you to see what the definition of those words in the Hebrew is, okay? So meditate there, to muse on, to consider, to ponder, to give serious consideration to. So I will meditate, I will ponder, I will give serious consideration to thy precepts. And then he says, and have respect unto thy ways. The word respect is interesting. It means in this sense to take note. It means to observe with care or pay close attention to. So get what he's saying. I will spend a lot of time considering your precepts, and I will take note and pay close attention. I will give the word respect. I will pay close attention unto thy ways. I will delight myself to take joy in. I will delight myself. That means in thy statutes, to take joy in, to take a high degree of pleasure or mental satisfaction. That's what it's talking about there. What do you delight in? Like when you think about delighting, you think about, you know, I'm sitting on the beach in one of those chairs, you know, sipping something, non-alcoholic, sipping something, you know, and not a person in sight. Like, I don't want to go to a beach where there's anyone else. You want to go to a beach where there's nobody, right? And you want to just be there, and that's, I delight in that. Maybe it's, you know, you got that candy bar you've been working on since Christmas, and you sneak a piece and you delight in that every night. I don't know. Who does that anymore, right? We just eat the whole thing. But anyway, to delight, to take joy in. He says, look, I'm going to consider your word. I'm going to give it a lot of consideration. I'm going to respect it. I'm going to take note of it. I'm going to pay special attention to the word of God, and I'm going to love it. I'm going to spend time delighting and taking joy in your word, and I will not forget it. I'm not going to lose the memory. I'm not going to ignore it. I'm not going to overlook it. I won't forget it. It's in his mind. He's thinking. He's considering. He's on purpose taking special attention to the word of God. And he says, look, I delight in it. Can I tell you this? The reason why some of you don't like reading your Bible is because you don't read it enough. I'm going to say that again. The reason, and if you don't say amen, it's because you're not reading it enough, okay? But the reason why some of you don't like reading your Bible is you're not reading it enough. You're not studying it enough. Because I will tell you, when you begin studying and reading the Word of God, it speaks to your spirit. And your spirit is part of you. It's alive. And you can't help but get a little happy when that happens. And so, I know if you're like, Pastor, I'm going to deep dive into the book of Leviticus. God bless you. Okay? You may not find such happiness right away, all right? But my brother-in-law, Faith's brother, teaches at a Christian college in Indiana, and he teaches a whole semester on Leviticus. Can you imagine that? What if we just had, like, that was our Bible curriculum in school, the book of Leviticus? All right, guys, grab the book of Leviticus. Let's go to school. I mean, it's difficult, right? I think I just finished it today, or we'll finish it today. It's a difficult book. I get it. But what I'm saying is, look, like, getting the Bible into you and reading it more and more is how you will like it more. And it will, why? Because it will speak to your spirit. It's an acquired taste. I remember, and if you're newer to church, this is what you need to know. When I got into church at 17, I was saved when I was younger. When I got into church, I had been listening to all the wrong type of music. I learned guitar by learning rock and jazz and blues. That's how I was taught guitar. My lessons from my teacher, everything, all the theory I learned, everything was along those lines. And so I came into Christian music already with all the world stuff in my mind. You know what? It was a long time before I actually started liking Christian music. And some of you may be like, oh, thank God, because I've been wondering. It may take a little while. Because why? It's an acquired taste. Your spirit needs to become more dominant in your life than your flesh. Your flesh is used to this type of stuff. And so when you're reading the Word of God, look, it's not like, you know, one of these novels that are out today. You have to learn to dig in and get beneath the surface to learn it and to love it, and you will. You will. Now, what's the thought here? Saturate your life with Scripture. Saturate your heart and mind with Scripture, and it will come out in your words and actions. Saturate your heart and mind with Scripture, and it will come out in your words and actions. That's just how it works. Whatever you're talking about is what's on your mind and in your heart. Whatever you're doing is a result of what you've been thinking about and what's in your heart. It comes from the inside, okay? How can you saturate your life with Scripture? And here's what I want to just take a moment to really challenge you, to say, this week, I don't know what you're doing with the Bible right now, but could you do more? Could you do more? Could you get your earphones out and get the YouVersion Bible app and have that dude with the crazy British accent, which is awesome, read it to you on your way to work? Could you have it, you know, hooked up to your car system there? Could you spend extra time? Hey, look, why don't you take Psalm 119 and read four of these sections of verses, read four of them each day this week? Or why don't you read the whole thing once per day? And so next week when you come in, you've saturated your mind with this passage of Scripture, and you've already gotten some stuff. You could do that with the book of the Bible. You could take Philippians. We're going to study Philippians. You could take Philippians and read four chapters. You read it every day for 1 month. Do you think you'd know that book better? You would know that book better. You would feel like you saturated it. You know, but what we do oftentimes is, I got to get my four chapters in, or I got to get my three chapters in, or I got to get my one chapter, whatever you do. And it's good to get a good bulk in, but saturate. How can we get more Bible in? How can we get more time in the Word of God? And you say, well, it doesn't count if you listen to it. It counts. It counts. Okay, the only thing that doesn't count is if, like, you put your Bible under your pillow and sleep on it. Oh, it's going to osmosis. It's going to come into my brain. That doesn't count. Okay, other than that, it counts. Read it. Listen to it. Have someone read it to you. All right? But anytime you can get the Bible into your mind and your heart, transformation can take place. So saturate your life with it. I want to challenge you, as we're going through Psalm 119, we'll probably spend maybe 3 to 4 weeks on it as we're going through each one of these and just kind of summing them up. But there's a lot of them here. I'd encourage you to read it once a week, the entire Psalm. It's 176 verses. You could do that in 1 week. Split it up, divide it by 7, okay? I'm not doing math ever again in the pulpit, but I'm just telling you, but you could do that, all right? You could do that, and just once a week to prepare your heart for the message next week. Could you do that? And before next week, just read the whole thing one time. That's not too much to ask, but I want to just challenge you with that. Lastly, the last 8 here, and I don't even have time to go through this, but these verses are talking really what I would sum it up as: turn to the Word for answers. Turn to the Word for answers. Let me read the 8 verses. I'll just give you a couple blanks here and we'll be done. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes and behold wondrous things out of thy law. This I am a stranger in the earth. Hey, this world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies are all my delight and my counselors. So verse 18 is a great prayer to pray before you read the word or before you come to church. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That's a great prayer to pray. God, show me some things. Now, this psalm, just really quickly here, these eight verses, I've got 5 minutes, so I'm going to speed through this. There are several different scenarios in this section. Several different, but all go to the same conclusion. Okay, verse 17, he talks about something that I may live, something threatening his life. In verse 19, he says, I felt like a stranger. He felt out of place. You ever go somewhere where you didn't know what the proper etiquette was? 46 forks over here, which one do I take, you know, that sort of thing. It can be embarrassing, make you feel out of place, like a stranger. And David, I believe David was saying, I feel like a stranger, I'm out of place. Verse 22, he prays for shame and a lack of respect to be taken away. That's what reproach is, shame, and contempt is really a lack of respect. He said, take that away from me. Verse 23, he faces some kind of oppression or opposition. Could be governmental, because he says the prince there, that there's the princes also did sit and speak against me. And then, I won't get into that right now. And then verse 24, but what is his response to all this? Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. So he's going back to the word of God for answers in all these situations. Counselors, something that provides direction or advice as to a decision or course of action. So what does this mean? Write this in. God will use his word to guide your life and your decisions. Here's all these situations David is going through. And it looks, it couldn't have been all at once, right? There's these different things he's going through, and everything he's saying is, I go back to the word. Princes are against me. I go back to the word. People are showing me lack of respect, and they're trying to bring shame upon me. What do? I go back to the word because I don't know what to do. And now I feel like a stranger and a pilgrim in the sand. What do? I go back to the word. And he's going back and back and back to the same answer. Because why? Because that well never runs dry. Go back to the Bible every time, because God will use his word to guide your life and your decisions. Go to him, and like we learned Sunday, give him time. Give God time. Charles Spurgeon said about these verses here, the words of the Lord serve for us many purposes. In our sorrows, they are our delight. And in our difficulties, they are our guide. We derive joy from them and discover wisdom in them. If we desire to find comfort in the scriptures, we must submit ourselves to their counsel. And when we follow their counsel, it must not be with reluctance, but with delight. I think that's a great commentary on those two verses there. So just summing up at the end, as we look back through this, are you keeping the word? Are you obeying the word of God and walking in God's ways? That's a good thing to think about tonight. Are you in the blank there? Are you saturating your life with scripture? Or is it just once or twice here and there? Compare your Bible reading to how much you read the news this last week, or you watched the news. And just see what really is saturating your heart and mind. You know, people have no peace nowadays and no joy, and they're scared all the time. Why? Look at what you're saturating your life with. To saturate something, if I were to get this coat saturated, it would mean it would permeate to every part of it. You could wring it out, okay? And the Word of God should just be coming out of us because we love it and we're in it so much. The last thing, are you turning to the Word of God for answers, or are you turning somewhere else? The Bible has the answer to every problem you face. It's a living book. I love this chapter. We're going to get more into it next week, but read it this week and be prepared for next Wednesday.